this episode of The Commercial Break.
I got to skip a lot of it because, of course, you don't kiss and tell at a bachelor party, yeah. Right? But there wasn't any, like, dancing girls or anything like that. We're all too old for that bullshit. And plus, in Maggie Valley, North Carolina, the options are limited.
Yes.
Let's put it that way.
You settled for seeing some elk.
Yes, we saw some elk. And to a bunch of old guys, that was just as exciting as seeing tits. I mean, we're of a certain age, we've seen tits. You know what I'm saying? It's like, and the groom doesn't want it, we don't want it. And then just to have some strange girl and probably a guy sitting outside in a car, the security guard or whatever, it's just a weird, it wasn't that kind of party, let's put it that way. Which is fine with me, because I've seen enough dancing girls in my life.
Yeah.
I've dated enough dancing girls
in
my
life.
Yes, you
have.
I'm over it.
The next episode of The Commercial Break starts now.
Oh, yeah, cats and kittens, welcome back to The Commercial Break. I'm Brian Green. This is my dear friend and the co-host of this show, Chris and Joy Hoadley. Best to you, Chrissy.
Best to you, Brian.
And happy birthday to you, Chrissy.
Thank you.
We didn't get a chance to say happy birthday because we didn't have a chance to jump in the studio last week, but happy birthday.
Thank you.
What is he, 29 now?
Yeah, holding.
Holding. Staying steady.
Yes, thank
stay
you so much.
Stay on target. Stay on target.
Yes.
You don't look a day over 30, Chrissy.
Oh,
don't look a day over 30.
Thank you.
How do you keep that magnificent skin and that taut body of yours?
Oh,
tell the world.
Lots of oils and lotions and potions.
Does Jeff help you with the oils?
He does sometimes.
Let's get into it.
Yeah.
Hey.
We
all
like
right.
Our lotions and potions and oils.
I do love me some Chrissy Only.
Oh, my God, that guy.
What was that guy's name? I can't remember after all those years. What was his name?
Harry? Or no, it's
no. What was his name? Hey, it's me from Podcast Universe. What was his name?
Oh, God,
I can't remember
it. Yeah.
All right, we'll remember. I'll go back to episode 3 and figure it out.
Yeah, I think that's when he made an appearance.
first season,
yes.
For sure. Anyway, thanks for joining us in the streaming universe and the podcast universe. Hey, Candle Cane. Candle Cane's always in there.
Yes, she is.
He or she. We don't know. Is it Candle? Is it he or she or they or them? I don't know. I don't want to be offensive. So anyway, happy birthday to you. Congratulations on yet another year. You know, I got the world's kindest compliment today. I was in the Starbucks meeting my Starbucks boyfriend.
Of course.
As I do. Okay. Mm-hmm. I have a boyfriend. His name is Lance and I love him. And we love each other. In South Georgia, Sean is in the house. Let me stop for a second and say, I did read that it was South Georgia Sean's birthday. Sean, I'm sorry. He was on the phone. I didn't get back to him because I had a long weekend myself.
That was his birthday, too. Well, happy birthday.
It was
birthday
his birthday also.
Sean.
I don't know when it was. Sometime last week. But
okay.
Happy birthday, South Georgia Sean. I was in the Starbucks today doing my coffee boyfriend date, as I do. And one of the girls said it was her birthday last week. And I said, oh, well, congratulations. She said, I turned 35. I said, that's wonderful. And she goes, I've never asked, how old are you? And I go, oh, you? How old do you think I am? She goes, my age, 35, 36. I was like, yeah, that's it.
There you go.
Done. It's the best compliment I could receive all day.
Mic drop. All right, I'm out. Thank you.
It really put me in a good fucking mood this morning. I was like, hottie doody, hot dog.
It's that tan skin.
Yeah, and then it's that tan skin. It's going to make me look 80 when I'm 55, but that's okay. Stay on target.
Yes.
Stay on target.
We need to catch up with your gym membership, too.
Oh, my gym membership. I've been to the gym a few times, and they continue to bug me, and it's really starting to irritate the piss out of me,
still?
If I'm being honest. What's that?
Still?
Yeah, they don't fucking let it go. I mean, I'll talk about it in a few minutes, but the guy just doesn't leave it alone. He doesn't leave it alone because I've now either avoided or ghosted him on 3 separate appointments, and now I think he sees it as a personal affront, and he wants...
Like a challenge.
It's a challenge to try and get a personal fitness assessment with Brian. But my personal fitness assessment is just to show up at the gym.
Yeah.
That is my personal goal for 2026. I am winning by simply stepping in. By checking in, I have accomplished everything that I wanted to accomplish. I have no goals. I don't want to add a pound of strength. I don't want to make my biceps. I don't care. I just don't want to look like an old flabby man. That's it. That's all I want to do.
There you go. That's so the assessment.
Tighten and tone it just a little bit. I have no ass. I have flabby arms. You see me on those machines. I should be wearing long sleeves and long pants because you see me on those machines. I'm just a flab master. I'm like, my arms are all lily, lily, lily. I look like Popeye. I look like Popeye lost all his gumption.
You maybe need some spinach.
Maybe I do need some spinach. Mm-hmm. Listen, I saw the most interesting video the other day that said it hypothesized, and then it backed that up with fact, that the creators of the cartoon Popeye used spinach as a metaphorically meth.
What?
That spinach was meth.
No.
Because he was a Navy man.
Yes,
right? He was in the Navy.
Yeah.
Okay. That's what Popeye had, that big tattoo of that anchor. He was in the Navy. And this cartoon was written. We all remember Popeye and, you know, olive oil and Bluto and all that other stuff. They were
doing a bunch of meth in the Navy.
They were giving meth to the Navy men, to the sailors, and to the pilots. As far back as World War One, and in World War Two, the Japanese, it was like their secret weapon. They would dope those kamikaze pilots up so fucking much and then tell them to go fly the plane right into the aircraft carriers. So this is not a secret. It is well documented, as the Germans were doing, and the Americans were doing it too. It's just not as well documented, but it is documented that they were doing this. And so I believe that Popeye is a World War One character. Mm. I think he was around like back in the 30s or 40s. But there's this whole video. I get fucking caught up in these fucking videos.
Yes, you do.
Who fucking cares? I'm watching how Popeye might have been taking meth instead of spinach. And I'm so fascinated by it. It's information that is completely fucking useless. As if there's nothing better to do with my time than to figure out whether spinach was a metaphor for fucking meth.
It is interesting, though.
It is interesting. I'll tell you what is a metaphor for meth. Harrah's Cherokee Casino is a metaphor for meth. That's what it
ding,
is.
Ding, 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 ding.
Had my brother's bachelor party this weekend, and it was a fascinating series of events,
I've been very excited about hearing some of these stories.
It is a bunch of high school friends that had a moment in the sun. There was a hot tub outside, and at one moment in time, I firmly believe we were inside the movie Hot Tub Time Machine.
Yeah.
That we had all traveled back to 16-year-old selves, and we were in this. We were having a moment in the sun.
That's fun.
We regaled ourselves with stories about the old days, how we used to do this, how we used to do that, how we used to make out with this girl, how that guy did this, and how those kids did that. Right? It was like everybody, I think, will have those moments as you get older in life when you get taken back to a moment. The same music. The same substances, the same amount of inebriation, the same people are trying.
Well, you even had a former member of 33P there with you.
33P, Mike Skursky, which I'll give him a shout out. We called him Scooter. Scooter was his name. Scooter was a phenomenal drummer, and he was our drummer in 33P. So Mike and I spent hours going back over all of the moments, which were like three, about 33 penis. And it was fun. It was good to know it. So, but I got to skip a lot of it because, of course, you don't kiss and tell at a bachelor party, right? But there wasn't any like dancing girls or anything like that. We're all too old for that bullshit. And plus, in Maggie Valley, North Carolina, the options are limited.
Yes,
let's put it that way.
You settled for seeing some elk.
Yes, we saw some elk, and to a bunch of old guys, that was just as exciting as seeing tits. I mean, we're of a certain age; we've seen tits. You know what I'm saying? It's like The groom doesn't want it. We don't want it. And then just to have some strange girl and probably a guy sitting outside in a car, the security guard or whatever. It's just a weird – it wasn't that kind of party. Let's put it that way, which is fine with me because I've seen enough dancing girls in my life.
Yeah.
I've dated enough dancing girls in my life.
Yes, you have.
I'm over it.
it was just a big get-together.
Yeah, strippers were never really my thing anyway, unless I was dating them. But it wasn't really my thing. Whatever cares. Okay, so we go to Harrah's Cherokee Casino in Maggie Valley, North Carolina, which is a huge facility that rises up out of the ground in the valley of a mountain. It is unbelievable. There is nothing anywhere. And then all of this, you were riding on these mountain roads that are crazy, windy, twisty, turny. And then all of a sudden, boom, this building rises up. Yeah, it's like a phoenix rising from the ashes. It is amazing. It is huge. Not as big as the Vegas casinos, but not small by any stretch of the imagination. It's a really large facility. And it was packed. I'll explain why. World Series of Poker.
Oh,
and
okay.
And Boy George was playing live at Harrah's.
Wow, he's on the casino
Cherokee
circuit.
Casino. That's
okay.
Right. Unbelievable. He's on the casino circuit.
Yeah,
God bless him.
A lot of people do it.
And as in the middle of dinner. Oh, okay. Let me tell you. So we get to. I'm driving. You know, I'm not. I don't usually, at least not at this part of my life. I'll get back to it in my 60s or 70s. I don't partake in a lot of substances. So I said, "Hey guys, I'll drive. That'll be my contribution to the group. I'll drive as many as I can get in there. There's about 10 of us. 5 of us get in my car. I drive down these crazy roads. Mm-hmm. Thank God I wasn't drinking because this was an insane road to drive up and
down.
Those
mountain roads can be crazy.
It was intense.
Yeah.
And had you not really been paying attention, I could see how you could get in trouble real quick.
And gosh, you guys were going to be, I mean, there was all that blizzard and storm stuff going on, but I guess it didn't reach there.
Not when we were there.
Yeah.
Might have snowed up there. It was snowing actually when I left on Sunday morning, but it was snowing. It wasn't like sticking on the ground. Mm-hmm. It was just the snow. Anyway, so we get to Harrah's, dinner at 9 o'clock. We get there at about 7:30. This is on Saturday night. Friday night, everyone hit it really fucking hard. I mean, really fucking hard.
That's what you do on that first night when you're all back together again.
Absolutely. Everyone's going golfing at 11, but no one seems to understand that there's a clock and it keeps moving. And no matter what you do, you're going to have to show up. And these guys are like, they're hell bent on going golfing. Me, I'm a take it or leave it kind of guy. If I'm hungover and I don't want to golf, I don't go golf. Some people in the group, it doesn't matter how hungover they are, they want to go golf.
Yeah, they're making it.
It's like the cure for hangover, but there's nothing about being out in the cold, wet, damp, in middle of nowhere for 4.5 fucking hours driving on a golf cart that makes it even colder than it already is that seems interesting to me when I'm hungover.
Yeah, and you guys had a big group too.
Ten of
that's
us.
That's a lot of people to get through.
Three of us stayed back at the...
Right, okay.
I stayed in the warmth. I was good with that.
In the hot
tub.
Cool,
yeah. And I wasn't even hungover, but I wasn't planning on golfing anyway. So anyway, okay. So we get to Harrah's, 9 o'clock dinner. We leave at 7. We get there at 7:30, so we have an hour and a half to kill. Harrah's Cherokee Casino. No offense to anybody involved in Harrah's. It is the Walmart of casinos. That's the best way to explain it. It is the everyman, everyday, super discount.
Go get your gambling on.
Go get your gambling on. Mm-hmm. No matter your fit or fashion, you're welcome at Harrah's, and man, does it take all kinds. I will explain to you.
That's why they're making so much money.
They are killing it.
Oh, yeah.
It was absolutely packed. They have a 12-story parking deck. I had to park on the very top.
Oh, my God.
On the very top. That's where I had to park.
Well, Saturday night at the casino.
Saturday night.
And Harrah's, Boy George.
Boy George in the World Series of Poker. They're both going on there, right? Okay. So we get there. We park. We walk 7 miles to go to find the casino. We had to go through the hotel and through the food court and the restaurant and the retail district and all this. And we get there and we go to the middle bar. And the middle bar is exactly what it sounds like. Middle of the casino. There it is, huge round bar. And when I say huge, I mean huge. I showed Chrissy pictures of it.
Yeah, it did look huge.
It's huge. It's just a big circle. And in the middle of the circle, about 15 feet in the air, is the stage.
I can't believe that part I was surprised at.
Unbelievable, right? Okay. Now, there's no vibe at Harrah's Cherokee Casino. There are many vibes. There are Chinese dragons hanging from the ceiling. There are...
Well, it was just Lunar New Year.
Lunar New Year. Mm-hmm. There are like lit up Rubik's Cubes and Tetrises on the stage. There's like an old pirate theme in the background. It's all a mishmash of shit. I guess... Whatever you want, they have.
Yes. They're the Cheesecake Factory.
They are the Cheesecake Factory.
Casinos.
That's it. Better than the Walmart, they're the Cheesecake Factory. A big, large menu of whatever you want. The casino is huge. The bar is big. The stage is large. And as we get there, there is a group of guys that are setting up, getting ready to play. And I got to tell you, if any of them were under the age of 60, I would have been surprised. And I'm sitting there talking to Scooter, and we are, again, regaling about the old days of 33 Penis and how...
Wondering if you can sit in.
Wondering if we could do it one more time, right? I mean, there's some, like, honest talk, like, I think, some earnest talk. organically about, could we do it one more time? Could we mount one more comeback, one more show? Could we all get to, could we get the old guys together, play the old songs? You know, Mike was saying these songs were good. They were like immature a little bit, but they were good. Like the, we just didn't have enough time to really, you know, polish them.
Yeah.
And I thought, you could polish a piece of shit all day long. It's still going to be a piece of shit. You know what I'm saying? I mean, listen, okay, maybe we could make
it. You could do a farewell tour because you never really did a first farewell tour.
We never did a tour.
Yeah,
yeah, right. It's hard to do a farewell tour when you never did a tour. It would be the inaugural and the farewell tour, yes, at the same time. Anyway, we're talking about this, and we're watching these guys get set up on there. And these guys are dressed like spandex, long hair. I mean, these are straight out of the 80s. And Mike is looking at me and he's like, these guys, think about this. They are probably retired. They come up here every fucking Saturday night and they play these cover tunes.
Yeah.
And they probably each get, you know, $600, $500, $600. And he goes, wouldn't you do that? And I was like, yeah, I guess. Yeah, look, they have a crowd. There are people that love them. Obviously, they're
doing what they love.
A huge crowd playing the same fucking tunes you play at a wedding. You know, don't stop. I will find her. It's love inside her. You know, the same fucking shitty tunes everyone plays. You know, the Foreigner and Def Leppard and Van Halen and all that shit. This kind of stuff that people love to rock to. And these guys were doing it, and they were doing it terribly, but they were doing it. And I said to myself, you're right, Mike. That is the dream. Like, is the dream is, maybe the dream never really goes away. Maybe it just comes back in a different form.
True.
Maybe 33 Penis wasn't meant to be the Pearl Jam or Alice in Chains of its time. Obviously, it wasn't. We played one show, two shows.
He's so close.
Mike thinks we played three shows, but I say two shows. We were so close. If anybody had attended those shows, I think we really could have taken off. If we had an audience, I think we could have taken off. He says, but look at this. I mean, these guys are doing what they want to do, and they're probably just like us when they were kids. And I was like, yeah, minus the talent, minus the ability to actually play our instruments, we could be these guys. And I thought to myself, yeah, maybe. Maybe this is it. Maybe you go down to the Villages,
mm-hmm,
and you play every Friday and Saturday night, and you get your $500, and there's your dream. It's just a different form.
Yeah, you're doing what you love.
That's
and
it.
Meeting people, staying social.
Staying social.
Making a little extra cash.
And getting the gratitude and appreciation for the art that you love to do. You know, you're going to play somebody else's songs, but that's it. Anyway, these guys started playing and they were terrible, but whatever. I mean,
were they
the
openers for Boy George?
No, they were. This was just.
Boy George was probably in the theater.
Boy George was in the theater.
I forgot they've got those theaters.
So everyone is like, we all meet at the middle bar and everyone is kind of. Everyone's a little distracted. Let's put it that way. They're distractible. How's that? That's a better word to put it. Everyone's kind of doing their own thing.
Casinos are just like, you know, sensory overload.
Bright lights, big city, lot of people, lot of dinging machines, lot of people yelling and screaming because they're making money. And everyone wants to go gamble. So everyone's kind of off in their own little world, you know, little pairs doing whatever. And me and Mike are sitting there at the bar patiently waiting for our appointment at guess whose restaurant?
Oh, God.
Guy Fieri.
I just guessed that. Oh, my God.
Guy fucking Fieri. Listen, there are not a lot of options that you or I would pick.
Yeah.
There is Gordon Ramsay's food hall, which is exactly what you expect it to be. Gordon Ramsay's food hall. It's like, you know, burgers and fries, fish and chips, pizza, big Gordon Ramsay face right there. It's this huge food hall. Gordon Ramsay's face, 10 feet tall right there.
Well, that adds a little class to it.
Yeah, you got to class up the joint when you're at Harris. But, you know, it's a food hall, so we're not going to go eat there. Ruth's Chris Steakhouse, I would think, is probably the best option that is available.
Yes.
Ramsay, they also have Ramsay's, which is a
Ramsay's.
Yeah, you put an A at the end of his name, and all of a sudden it's fancy. I don't know how. But there's Ramsay's, but, you know, it's hard to get a reservation on a Saturday night. And I don't know if everybody wanted Ramsay's. Ruth's Chris was the original choice. But, again, they couldn't accommodate us at a time when we wanted, which was 7 o'clock initially, but got pushed back to 9 o'clock, I think because of what happened on Friday night.
Yes, yeah, exactly.
Everyone wanted to go to dinner early. Everyone wanted to get a nap in between golf and dinner.
You've got to.
Of course.
Yes.
That's what I did
essential.
That's what I did while they were golfing. I went and took a nap. And I wasn't even drinking, and I needed a nap. So we go to Guy Fieri's restaurant, this huge. I mean, the ceilings are 40 foot tall. It's huge. It's open. There is no descript style going on at all. It's nothing. It's modern minimalist, right? Tables scattered throughout.
I would think it would be some kind of like diners, drive-ins kind of theme.
You would think they would give it some kind of fucking theme, but the only theme that was available were the 16 televisions inside of the restaurant that were playing Guy Fieri's television shows. Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives, Triple D. Guy's Grocery Games, and then Guy's Fantastic America, or whatever it's called. It's just on, a loop. They're playing clips
of
the show.
That's hilarious.
It was so weird. And listen, we all talked about it. Like, if you got to watch a television show, Triple D is not the worst thing that you could watch.
It's not. It's mindless.
It's mindless entertainment. Mm-hmm. He's entertaining enough to bounce it along. He always interrupts the chefs. He never lets them cook. He never lets anybody do anything. He's the guy. He has to tell you what's in it. But, you know, the chef will be making something, and it'll be like, half a spoon of garlic. And the chef will be like, yeah, how did you know that? You know, because he already got the recipe. So he keeps on interrupting. Whatever. Anyway, you can watch it. It's mindless entertainment. Guy Fieri had a series of burger joints before he joined Food Network.
Oh, he did?
Yes. And apparently they were well-liked by it on the West Coast. And then I think he had one in New York. But he had like four of these restaurants.
Yeah.
Guy's Big Burgers or something like that. And people liked them. If you go back and you read those reviews, if you look at any early magazine articles or articles about Guy Fieri, people really liked those burgers. They thought they were good. Smash burgers. They thought they were really good.
I do like a good smash burger.
I do too. Mm-hmm. So what do we have on the menu? We got smash burgers. Mm, that's what we got. Smash burgers, hot chicken, fried chicken, and a couple knickknacks, right? But then it takes about 5-10 minutes for the waiter to come up. That's not good. It takes about another 10 or 15 minutes for the waiter to get the drinks to the table. That's not great. It takes about another 5-10 minutes for him to get an appetizer order. And somebody orders lobster popsicles, fried lobster popsicles. And if you call something a popsicle, I don't want it. Lamb popsicle, lobster popsicle.
No.
I don't want anything that I'm supposed to eat with protein in it to be called fucking popsicle.
Mm, I agree.
That's 1992 bullshit. Leave it alone. But anyways, Guy Fieri's. What are we going to do? And then there's like these.
What are we going to do?
And what are we going to do? It's Guy Fieri's.
Yes,
I'm here.
You got
I'm
the
sitting
lobster,
here.
Lobster pops.
Lobster pops.
Okay.
We get the lobster pops.
Lobster on a stick.
Yes. And then Guy's amazing cheesy pretzel bites or something like that. Those lobster popsicles show up. I didn't have one. Everyone said they were good, but they came in like a basket full of fries on these sticks. It just looked terrible. I mean, it just looked terrible. It didn't look appetizing to me.
Uh-huh.
The slop that came out with the pretzel bites, I don't even know how to explain it. It was drowning in some kind of liquid cheese with bacon and Guy's donkey sauce all over it. It's fucking donkey sauce on everything.
Donkey sauce, is that his thing?
That's his thing, the donkey sauce, which is essentially garlic aioli, which is terrible. Yeah, don't put that on anything I'm eating. Please, I don't like garlic aioli. The mayonnaise and garlic together, it's not for me.
It's too overpowering.
It's way overpowering. Mm-hmm. I want a burger to taste like a burger, not like a garlic
a donkey?
Mayonnaise. Like a donkey. Donkey sauce. I don't want any donkey punch sauce on my thing, okay? So these cheese bites were beyond description. I had one and I was like, wow,
that's all I need.
That's all I needed. Mm-hmm. But I was optimistic because I ordered Guy's famous smash mac and cheeseburger.
Oh, you went mac and cheeseburger?
The double patty, double smash burger, mac and cheese, bacon.
All on the same bun?
Yes. And then flot or lopped or whatever they call it. Lettuce, onion, tomato, pickle, plot. I don't know what they call it. And then Guy's donkey sauce. Right. So I say to the guy, I say, hey, listen, give me everything that is meat and cheese and everything else leave off of it. Right.
Yeah.
Bacon, cheese, mac and cheese. That's it. That's all I want. And the guy says, OK. And a lot of other people order this because it's like the thing that he's known for.
Sure. It's his famous thing.
It shows up. And I'm telling you what, Chrissy, I was so fucking hungry. I could have eaten my own hand. It was not good.
Oh.
It was not fucking good. I was so disappointed.
Yeah, because especially when you're hungry, too. And this is supposed to be his famous thing.
This is his famous thing. It's a fucking smash burger. You take a fucking griddle. You take a fucking spatula
and you smash it.
That's it. That's all you do. You put a bunch of cheese on it. Mac and cheese. Could have been mac and cheese out of a box. And that's all you had to do. Two strips of bacon, done. I would have loved it. this wasn't it. And plus, I asked for no donkey sauce. I got extra donkey sauce. And I'm telling you what, that donkey sauce was like a donkey punch to my mouth. It was like fucking disgusting.
Yeah, I know. I've had like fries with that covered all over it, and it's too much.
Guy Fieri's.
Not the best review.
No, I'd give it 1.5 Willies out of 5. 1.5 Willies out of 5. That's what I give it. I wish it was, I really wished it was better, but it just didn't turn out to be good. And I don't know.
Well, you got it. You were at a casino, you gambled, you lost.
We took our chances.
Yep.
We rolled the dice on Guy Fieri's and we lost. But the most entertaining part of dinner did not happen in the restaurant. It happened outside the restaurant. Everybody went and smoked. I had my one cigarette a year.
Oh, yeah.
Bachelor party. Yeah. And I just get so excited about that one cigarette a year, and it's a disappointment every fucking time. Tastes like I'm chewing on a cigar. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It was not good. I don't know. I feel like I get so excited about having a cigarette, but then it never works out in my favor. Do you understand what I'm saying?
I do, because we both used to be smokers.
Yeah.
And we've both quit now.
And
ever since then, which I've quit now, I guess, like 10 years.
Yeah, 10 years I've no cigarettes.
Yeah. And so I did the same thing for a little while where I was like, oh, I'll just have a cigarette. And every time it just wasn't.
It's gross.
So I've stopped. I'm just done.
Okay. Well, I still do it once a year. Whatever. I'd rather smoke a cigarette than a cigar, if I'm being honest, because cigar is overpowering, even though I do have a cigar every once in a while. Okay. So we all go outside to smoke a cigarette. And what we found out there was the most entertaining part of the entire night. Let's take a break. And when we get back, I'll tell you all about it. Oh, yeah. I've got to give you the cliffhanger because we're already an hour into the episode.
I know.
Because Brian can't shut his mouth. Oh, and there's Blue. Blue's here for you. Episode number out of 967 episodes.
I had a dream about Blue last night. I'll have to tell you about it after the break.
Okay. We'll talk about it after the break. We'll be back in 2 and 2.
Hey, it's Rachel, your new voice of God here on TCB. And just like you, I'm wondering just how much longer this podcast can continue. Let's all rejoice that another episode has made it to your ears, and I'll rejoice that my check is in the mail. Speaking of mail, get your free TCB sticker in the mail by going to tcbpodcast.com and visiting the Contact Us page. You can also find the entire commercial break library, audio and video, just in case you want to look at Chrissy, at tcbpodcast.com. Want your voice to be on an episode of the show? Leave us a message at 212-433-3TCB. That's 212-433-3822. Tell us how much you love us, and we'll be sure to let the world know on a future episode. Or you could make fun of us. That'd be fine, too. We might not air that, but maybe. Oh, and if you're shy, that's okay. Just send a text. We'll respond. Now I'm going to go check the mailbox for payment while you check out our sponsors, and then we'll return to this episode of the commercial break.
Okay, so we get to the so we go outside, we go to smoke a cigarette, and who walks up on us? Chrissy?
Guy Fieri?
No.
Boy George.
Boy George.
What?
I wish that I was kidding, and let me explain. I'll walk it through a little bit.
Okay.
Boy George had just gotten done with the concert, and we noticed that there were a lot of Boy George fans dressed in their 80s regalia their t-shirts, and some of them even had like the makeup and the hair and the whole, you know, they were all decked out. They were very excited about Boy George. You have to be a really big Boy George fan to make it to Harris Cherokee Casino in Maggie Valley to see Boy George. But this might be your only chance to ever see Boy George, so who knows? I must say this. Not only was a World Series of Poker going on, not only was Boy George concert going on, but then they had some kind of Dungeons & Dragons tournament, like unofficial tournament going on. In the lobbies, they had these large groups.
That's a mix of a lot of different types of people.
Yeah. And they were like, some of them had coup d'etat trays. Like they had brought themselves cut up vegetables. It was really weird. Anyway, whatever. Huh. Okay. So out walks coup d'etat tray. Out walks what I can only describe as Boy George.
That's incredible.
Full.
Long hair with the braids. And
long
stuff.
Hair, colored braids, the hat, the makeup, the jacket.
Okay.
The big, you know, Technicolor jacket, right? Straight out of Karma Chameleon video.
Karma Chameleon video. Nice. That's fun.
I'm like, holy shit. This is Boy George. He's standing right where that television is right there. And I'm like, oh my God. Oh my God. oh my God, it's Boy George. So after a few seconds of trying to wrap my head around exactly what's going on, double taking and triple taking and quadruple taking, why would Boy George be standing outside in the valet area of Hera's Cherokee Casino? I go, excuse me, are you Boy George? And this is what came out of his mouth. No, but I sure do look like him, don't I? And I was like, fucking, hey, are you an impersonator? Not an impersonator, just a real big fan of Boy George.
Wow, okay.
Chrissy, yeah. You could have fucking fooled me. I mean, I'm no Boy George expert, right? I haven't.
Right, but.
He's not on my playlist.
You know what he looks like.
I know what he looks like because mm-hmm. my mom was a huge fan of his, mm-hmm. like every other mother in the world. It grew up in the 80s, right? And it was, loved Boy George and all that.
Yeah.
You know, Culture Club and all that other stuff. This guy was like a spitting image of Boy George. And if he didn't open his fucking mouth, you would have never known the difference. He looked short. Everything about him looked like Boy George. He was just a guy who dressed up like fucking Boy George to go see Boy George.
It was Boy George, but that was his disguise, was,
you know,
the voice.
I don't know.
He didn't want to be bothered.
We started talking.
Yeah.
Like, he ended up being a real chatty motherfucker. And so he started talking about how much the Boy George had affected the music culture in the 80s and blah, blah, blah. None of it untrue. None of it really true. Like, he was a big influence on, he was certainly one of the first video stars, let's put it that way. And he had a few big hits, right?
Yeah.
You know, what's that song? Do you really wanna hurt me? Yeah. And then, come a chameleon. Yep. Okay,
you
those two songs.
And go.
You come and go.
Whoa,
you come
whoa.
And go. And then, I don't know any other songs.
Yeah.
But those two songs, okay, they were on rotation. No doubt about it. A lot of times. But this guy was a spitting image of Boy George. And what came out of his mouth was
just
the
totally
only distinguishing
match.
Factor.
Yeah.
It did not match what I was seeing. It was hard to believe because I expected that fucking British accent
right?
to come out of his mouth.
Mm-hmm.
And I expected his voice to be a little higher and, if no offense to anybody in the crowd, a little bit of a lisp, right? We all heard Boy George talk.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not what came out. It was full redneck accent. So like,
that's hilarious,
I go, hey, man, you really look like Boy George. I sure as shit do, don't I? Man, I'll tell you, when I heard Boy George coming up here, I got so fucking excited. I had to get ready, plan my outfit. And I'm like, do you do this? Like, you follow him? I've probably seen him about 10 times. And I go, oh, wow, okay, so you've
done this before.
Yeah, do you dress like this on any day? Or is this just, like, for Boy George?
Yeah.
He goes, you don't ask me twice. If there's a Boy George event, I'm there, and I like to dress up. And, you know, I oftentimes get mistaken for Boy George. I go, really? Because, as a matter of fact, tonight I got mistaken for Boy George. I was walking into the venue, and they said, are you the artist? And I said, well, I wish I was.
Well, you mistook him for him, too.
Yeah, I mistook him. I said, I see mm-hmm. why you were mistaken for him. Anyway, so we're all out there smoking cigarettes, and I didn't know that people went to the Boy George concert and dressed up like Boy George. But I saw more than a few.
Oh, I can imagine. I mean, he had a definite cult following. And, you know, there's those types of people that really just, they make an impression.
They do.
On you. And then you have to, you know, it is a certain time of your life. It really made an impression. And then you just, you want to follow them around.
Yeah. It's a moment in time. It's a small mm-hmm. moment in time. But I do remember how big Boy George was for a moment in time.
Mm-hmm.
But now he's playing Hera's Cherokee Casino.
Yeah. I bet it pays well, though.
Oh, they got to be paying him.
Yeah.
What, $100,000?
There's a lot of people that $150,000?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Listen, comedians do it all the time. There's people that make good money going and doing those. Just the Indian casinos, just the Hera's Cherokee, the the Borgata in New Jersey or whatever. That's the thing, you know, there's been a lot of talk lately about Vegas and how Vegas is really hurting right now and all the different reasons why Vegas is hurting. I'm not a huge Vegas guy. I've been there about 10 times.
Either.
I go there for 48 hours maximum.
Max. Yes.
Because there's no reason to be in Vegas more than 48 hours. There's nothing else to do except for gamble, drink, and be awake. That's it. And so that gets exhausting after a minute.
Yeah.
And it gets kind of boring, if I'm being honest. I'm not a huge gambler. So mm-hmm. I do like to spend a little bit of money, but not a huge gambler. There's a lot of talk about why Vegas is seeing a real downturn right now. Is it the casinos that are charging you for everything? I saw a video. where a guy ordered room service and he got charged $25. I think it was by the Bellagio. By the Bellagio for silverware, extra silverware.
Oh, wow.
He ordered a plate and then he wanted an extra pair of silverware for whoever his guest was. And they charged him $25. And then they charged him $15 to bring it to the room. And then they charged him $12 to drink a bottle of water. Another guy got charged $10 just to open, just because he opened
the mini bar.
The mini bar, right? He didn't take anything. He just opened it.
Yep.
And they charged him a resealing fee or something like that. Parking is no longer free. Parking was always free. You don't get free drinks at a lot of the places unless you're spending money at the high roller facilities. That was the deal for Vegas a long time.
It was the free drinks.
You could go and not spend a fucking dime on booze because you just walk in and out of those places. Stand. I mean, you've been to Vegas. I think we're all old enough. You've been to Vegas. You would stand anywhere close to a table and someone would be right there taking your drink order and they wouldn't charge you. You'd tip the lady a nice $5 and then you'd be on your way. You got the lady or the guy. It's not like that anymore. It's everything is being charged and the regular gambler is being priced out of Vegas because the hedge funds are in there. And people believe they're trying to make it that way. A lot like Disney World. They're pricing the middle tier consumer out of it so that they can get the high rollers in, spending the kind of money they want to make. They figure if they can't get your dollar, they'll make it up with the rich dollar that doesn't care about being charged $25 for silverware. But I got news for you, Vegas. Everyone cares about getting charged $25 for fucking silverware.
That's crazy.
Insane. Anyway. Yeah. You don't need to go to Vegas anymore. You can go to Harrah's. Mm-hmm. And that's where these people are. That place on Saturday night was fucking packed. Packed. Every table, every fucking machine. Not every machine, but most of the machines.
Yeah.
And hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands, of other people walking around the floor, spending money in the food hall, seeing the show at the World Series of Poker. This is like... These people are making money hand over fist.
Oh, yeah. They've got to.
And how quickly you can lose money at those places is amazing to me. One of my brothers took, I don't know, $1,000 or whatever, and he was playing blackjack, right? And I just stood and watched him play blackjack, and he played it well. It wasn't like he was, you know, being an idiot. But he played it well, doubled down when he needed to double down, you know, hit when he should hit.
Yeah.
And you know, he'd go up a few chips, he'd go down, he'd go up a few chips, and he'd go down. It took about an hour, and I think he lost total. He bet $1,000, he lost $400, right? So he walked away with $600.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the thing. You're paying just for the act of playing.
There's this guy at the table. So I'm standing back, and I'm watching my brother play, and there's a couple other people at the table. And one of the guys is there with a very beautiful young woman who's dressed very nicely. And then there's four seats. So it's my brother, this guy, and this girl. And then there's an open seat. And up walks a Jelly Roll-looking motherfucker. Mm-hmm. He looks like Jelly Roll. That's the best way to put it, right? He's got sunglasses on, the fake leather jacket, young guy. And you can see a whole deal go down with him and the guy that was with the girl.
Okay.
Let's call him baseball cap guy. So there's a deal that goes down. I watched it all.
Like a drug deal?
A drug deal. I've seen enough of these go down. Mm-hmm. I know what happened, right? The guy comes and whispers in his ear. The guy stands up. They walk away from the table for a second. There's a handshake. There's a thing. There's a pocket. You know, the whole thing. And
baggy.
Yes. And the guy, the Jelly Roll looking motherfucker, he was desperately tweaking. I mean, he was just like fidgety all over the place. I could see what was going on. So the Jelly Roll guy sits down at the table after this whole deal goes down, and he goes into his wallet, and he pulls out money, and it's like $20. Well, he loses it immediately, right?
Yeah.
And so then he goes and whispers to the guy he just did this deal with, and the guy he did the deal with then pulls out however much money and gives him money on the table. I was like, holy shit.
Okay.
This, like... I guess they don't care. I mean, you know, there's enough security and there's a camera, seven cameras on
everywhere.
Every table. Yeah. I guess they don't care. I don't know. But this is like the slice of Americana. Everyone's doing their own thing. There is no better entertainment, in my opinion. I had such a good time just people watching, including the people I was with. Just people watching everything that was going on at the Harrah's Cherokee Casino.
Oh, it had to be entertaining. And like I said, too, for all of those... The World Series of Poker. So was the World Series of Poker, it was like there? They weren't just airing it? It was there.
Well, it's a circuit.
Okay.
So the World Series of Poker, the big one is in Vegas.
Vegas,
where they have like
that's
a $20 million pot or something. This was a $2 million pot. So the winner would walk away with about $650,000.
Yeah.
But it's a 3-day tournament. So my brother Kevin had a friend that met us up there. I'd never met the guy, but him and Kevin have been friends for a couple of years. And he is like plays professional poker.
Yeah.
Now, he didn't enter this particular tournament, but he was there to gamble for the weekend.
Okay.
And he said, listen, I would, but I have to be somewhere on Monday. And he said, and if you are do well, you could be sitting at those tables for 3 days.
Oh, I can imagine.
He said, So when we were there, it was Saturday. And we were like, can you just go watch it?
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, it's in the event center. Mm-hmm. You can just walk in and watch it if you want to. Hundreds of tables, all their own little universe. And there are these girls that were in these bright green vests, and they were massaging certain players.
Oh.
So the players were getting massages. I'm assuming they were paid to do this.
Yeah.
They were getting massages. There was a girl every third table, like massaging somebody, right? And they'd be playing poker, and the girl would be working on their arm or their back or their neck.
They've just been sitting there.
They've been sitting there for so long. And when I walked in there, probably about midnight on Saturday night, there were maybe, of the hundreds of tables, there were probably 50 still playing. Mm-hmm. So it was largely empty, but there were 50 still playing. And so I just stood there for a minute. It was another guy that was standing there, and he goes, it's pretty amazing, isn't it? I said, it really is. Like, all these people just playing poker. I said, how long will they play into the night? And he goes, you play until you play. He goes, you know, eventually they'll stop for the night. He goes,
yeah,
but could go to 3 or 4 in the morning. And I was like, holy shit. He goes, they'll be back at it 10 a.m. tomorrow.
Wow.
I thought to myself, wow, I can't concentrate on anything for that long. I really can't. Let alone when there's like, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars at stake. But a $1,700 buy-in, then you could walk away with $650 if you win.
Yeah.
But there are thousands of players. This guy was explaining that this goes on regionally. Every month, there's another World Series of Poker somewhere. This one was not televised, but some of them are. But the one at Vegas is like a $15, $20 million pot. The winner walks away with $5 million or something like that. It's that's the big one. Yeah, that is a big deal. I went into a casino once in Aruba where they were having a high-stakes poker tournament, like a regional high-stakes poker tournament. And the buy-in was $175,000.
Oh, wow.
And the pot, the winner.
Some high rollers.
Yeah, the winner would walk away with like $10 million,
yeah,
which is like, that's a crazy amount of money, $10 million to win. But in that case, there were only like 100 players total.
Sure.
So yeah, I mean, that's, you know, yeah, that's what you do.
Up the interest.
Yeah, do the math. Yeah, do the math, and there it is. All right, let's do this. Let's stay on track. Let's get a short break, and then I'm going to hear your story. You just said,
oh well, I just had a dream about Blue. So
what's the dream? Tell us. Do tell.
Okay, so the dream was that I came over to record, and you had a couple of puppies running around, and I was like, oh my gosh, puppies, those are so cute, and you.
I kicked
one. The kids were playing with them, and there were a couple of these little cute little like black lab puppies or something running around, and they were so cute. And then after a while, I was like, what? Wait, hold on. And you go, I got rid of Blue.
Oh!
And this is to distract the kids from knowing that I got rid of Blue. And I was like, you did? You did it? I was like, God, you got fed up. I remember I was talking to like Astrid about it, and she's like, he just couldn't take it anymore. And so we had to do something to replace. So these are the new puppies. And we think that Blue has found a new home.
In an alternate universe? You know, are you dreaming when you're awake? Are you awake when you're dreaming? I've started to do lucid dreaming again. I did it when I was like in my 20s. I've started to work back on lucid dreaming where you can identify that you're in the dream. And in some cases, you know, with dreams, a lot of times the behavior, the things you're doing, the things you're seeing, whatever, you know, it's all just kind of a watercolor, right?
Right.
And you can't control what you're doing in the dream. With lucid dreaming, you can identify that you're in a dream and be the witness to what's going on. So you can start to pick out things in a more realistic way.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting. And I've done it before, not to great effect.
But, yeah, I've done that before too.
But I've seen it. And you can train yourself to do it. Like there's like psychologists give you tips on how to do this. Anyway, maybe in an alternate universe, Blue, I had to get rid of Blue.
You had to.
Because she drives me fucking crazy.
Yeah, I was like, I can't believe he did it. He finally did it.
I go to that Starbucks, and Lance has a dog named Chipper. And Chipper is white, snow white bully, pit bull.
Okay,
right?
Yep.
And it is the most gentle, kindest, sweetest dog. And this dog is in love with me. When I walk into the Starbucks and Chipper is there, Lance has to let the leash go because she just comes up and
she wants to have some of you. Yeah.
Sits right by me while we're doing, you know, I just love this dog. And I was telling Astrid this, and she's like, what about Blue? And I'm like, what about Blue? That's Blue's barking in the background.
I know.
I mean, I love Blue too, but you know, it's the candy you cannot have. It's the candy everybody wants.
Maybe
do you know what I'm
new
saying?
Little black puppy.
Yeah, we're not getting another dog. That's it. Astrid and I have talked about it. No more dog. Uh-huh. I just don't think I'm mentally in a position to have another dog after having three children and Blue.
Yeah, it's a lot.
Blue is a lot. Blue is a lot. And so are children, by the way. Yes. They're about the same amount of aggravation. But the kids are, to me, like, they take a priority.
Of course.
Poor Blue. She had, she was ruled the roost until we started having children.
Yeah. But
c'est la vie. C'est la vie, Blue. C'est la vie. All right, let's take a short break. We'll be back.
Okay, you're probably wondering why I, Rachel, have taken over the voice duties at TCB. It's pretty simple. Astrid asked me to shut Brian up, even for a minute. Well, lovely Astrid, your wish is my command. Do you want to help Astrid too? You know you do. Leave a message for her, or me, or Chrissy at 212-433-3TCB. That's 212-433-3822. You can be on the show too. Mm-hmm. Just call and say something. Anything. Or text us and we'll text you right back. Promise. Then head over to tcbpodcast.com and get your free sticker. It's your constitutional right to a sticker, and we must abide. You get the point. Follow us on Instagram at The Commercial Break and watch all the episodes on video at youtube.com/The Commercial Break. Best to you and Astrid, especially Astrid.
I found video of Boy George at the Harrah's. Okay. Let's see what he's doing here.
Looks like a fun show.
Yeah. Well, now that I see the actual Boy George, that guy looked nothing like Boy George. Wow, that is a huge facility.
Oh, my God.
That's huge. Yeah. There must be 5,000 people in that facility?
Yeah.
Oh, and it's Culture Club. Not that I know the difference, but okay, there you go.
Culture Club was the rest of the band.
Yeah, the rest of the band. Yeah. But I don't know if he always tours with Culture Club or he just, whatever. Anyway, we swore on All That Was Holy that we would not watch Love is Blind, and I have stuck to that.
Yeah, me too.
I watched 15 minutes of it here because it started playing on Netflix.
No, I have banned myself. After last season, I was like, I cannot do it again. This is so dumb. They know what they're doing, and you have to keep watching. If you watch, then you have to keep watching.
You get roped in.
The claws get in you. So
it's a little
succubus. I was like, I can't do it.
No, fuck it. I'm not doing it. And everyone who goes on the show wants to be famous or has a serious mental disorder, and the producers know it, and they have done all their homework, and they know exactly the buttons to press. So I have not watched it, but I have kept up online because there is quite the controversy going on about one of the contestants whose name is Chris, I guess. There's two guys that are apparently just shitheads and they're lying out their asses about everything and people are investigating. This is why I would never want to go on a Love is Blind.
No.
Not in season number 10 or 11. Season one, maybe, because everyone's like, wow, what's this?
Yeah, it was a new concept.
It's a new concept.
And a couple of those people, or at least I know that one couple, is still together and had babies.
And one couple just divorced. One of the...
Well, and I think the last season, too, did not tell you that no one got married.
No one.
Yeah.
Not one single couple got married.
No.
So love really isn't blind.
I mean,
I guess at the end of the day. But there is quite the controversy about these two guys and about how they went on and then they're saying things that are not true and then everyone's investigating them online. And I am not giving a bit of sympathy to you if you are going on and hurting feelings and lying to people and being deceptive. Not giving an ounce of empathy. What I am saying is, who wants to be put through that? Like, how shitty is it that your life, and I guess this is what happens when you decide to go on a show that's watched by millions of people in 2026,
absolutely.
But your life is completely dissected by everybody. Every ex-girlfriend this one guy, Chris, had is now coming out of the woodwork, sharing voicemails, sharing text messages, sharing what a shitty guy he was. He didn't pay for dinner when we went on vacation. He didn't hold the door open. He called me drunk and yelled at me, you know, and all these behaviors, maybe not cool in and of themselves, but who amongst us hasn't had a relationship where maybe we made a few missteps? And every single one of these, it's just, to me,
that you sign up for.
It feels so insanely Truman-esque, like Truman Show-esque.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't feel bad for the guys. I feel bad for our society.
Yeah.
And all that there are so many problems in this world. And there was a guy, I put out a reel the other day. And the reel, or not a reel, but I shared a story. And the story was, if people got upset about Bad Bunny at the Super Bowl, get ready for the World Cup when Latinos take over for like a month, right? It's because that it's true. Like, you know, it's going to be crazy. And the point was, is that everyone got so fussy about Bad Bunny, and then now the World Cup's going to come, and Latinos are having their moment. They really are. They're in the sun right now.
Yeah, because, I love it.
Yeah, me too. Hey, listen, you don't have to know me very well to know that I'm basically half Venezuelan. But so, if it wasn't for my skin, I'd be Venezuelan and my language.
That's what you're trying to achieve with and the tanning my blood. Bed.
That's right. I'm trying to go full Vene. So anyway, this guy said, give them bread and circus. And that is a line from an old Roman poet and also from a Natalie Merchant song. Give them bread and circus means give them something else to digest while we are over here robbing the bank, essentially. Give them what
distract
they want.
Them.
Yeah, give them what they want. Give them the candy they want, right? And so I think about Love is Blind, and all of these people are spending endless amounts of hours investigating these guys while real shit is going on. And then I think about us doing the commercial break for endless amount of hours while real shit is going on.
But that's for providing the break.
We are. We're providing the break. We're providing a service. Those people are just, you know, investigating people on a reality show. Sounds like a noble cause. I'm not sure the commercial breaks a noble cause.
I don't care that much.
No, I don't give a shit.
I mean, I might Google something, but other than that, I'm not going to delve deep.
How about Prince Andrew going to jail?
Did you see that picture of him? He looked shocked.
For someone who doesn't sweat, he seemed to be sweating quite a bit. He was in quite the tizzy. He looked shell-shocked. That's huge news to have a member of the royal family, and not an insignificant member of the royal family, the brother of the king.
Yeah.
To have him go to jail, actually be arrested, handcuffed, put in a jail, investigated like this. First of all, God bless the United Kingdom, because they are certainly taking this Epstein thing a lot more seriously than anybody in the United States government is. First of all. Second of all, that is a shocking revelation. It is. And but if you see, if you're even just like a curious watcher of the Epstein files and this Epstein saga, then you know that Prince Andrew is one of the most notable offenders that was with Epstein doing a lot of shenanigans.
Yeah, but I mean, I guess the real thing, too, is that he's not even getting arrested for what he did, you know, with the girls. It's he was giving secrets away or giving government information.
But that's whatever it is, it is, right?
Yeah.
He was privy to government secrets, and then he was handing them to Epstein. And now you start to understand why Epstein was the...
Yeah, he had so much power.
The wheel that had all these spokes, because he had a lot of power, a lot of secrets, a lot of information. And some people say this is just the tip of the iceberg, and it very well may be. And I want to
see it all unravel. I want the truth.
I got to be honest. It's starting to look a lot like the Trump files where Epstein is mentioned. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's very interesting. And all of them go to jail. Trump, the Clintons, anybody who was involved in it. Let them all go to jail. Bill Gates, I don't give a shit. It's like, you know, you can't get away with that. It's the abuse of power. But I guess when you are so wealthy and so famous and so powerful, you just feel untouchable.
Yeah,
there are just
above
you can
the law.
Buy anybody off, and they're certainly doing a good job of it now, at least in the United States. But in the United Kingdom, they don't fuck around. They decided, you know what? Somebody needs to go to jail for this bullshit, and we'll figure out how to make it work.
Yeah, I mean,
and
I guess he's going to have a trial.
Let it happen.
Oh, yeah. No,
let it happen.
I guess Charles was like, we'll support it.
He has no choice.
No, he doesn't.
He has no choice. Mm-mm. And he said the right thing. Let the law take its course. And that's the right and only thing to say, right? Can you imagine Trump saying, let the law take its course? That would never happen.
No.
Oh, my God. Yeah, well, you remember I told you, I'll say this and then I'll leave it alone because I know this is about the commercial break, right? But do you remember what I told you? The most fascinating podcast online right now is the one where the two children are grilling their parents about being Trump supporters.
Oh, yeah, I think you told me about this.
Two children left-leaning, two parents— hardcore, blind as a bat, Trump supporters. Anything he does, they're all about. Okay. This podcast, it's called The Necessary Conversation, is the name of the podcast. You can find it on Instagram, YouTube, podcast. I highly recommend you go listen to it. It will be studied, I guarantee, for decades to come because it's a family torn apart
by politics. Yeah, that's happened a lot.
Yes. And these two parents are the epitome of what a blind Trump supporter is. Mm-hmm. Anything he does, it doesn't matter. They find excuses. They find a way. Whataboutism. Listen, whether you like Trump or whether you don't, he did wrong things, just like Biden did, just like Obama did, just like Bush did. You know, you got to be able to see the right and the wrong at the same time. No one can be a right 100% of the time. The mother has started to turn, and it is a fascinating, fascinating thing. She has started to say, I think Trump is covering up the Epstein files. She has started to say, I think Trump was wrong about ICE. She has started to say, and she's like turning a little bit.
Yeah.
And it's the whole internet is going crazy. These people get like millions of views on their Instagram posts, by the way, and the whole internet's going crazy. It's like, oh my God, the mother's turning. We get her.
Nice. Okay. I need to and check this out.
I'm like, it's not about that. It's not about like winning or not winning. It's
not
about like seeing reality for the way that it is. And I hope that she does. Mm-hmm. So, and, you know, listen, we'll see what happens. We're going to need to welcome people back.
Yes, that's very true.
We're going to need to welcome people back at some point. Mm-hmm. And maybe this is a roadmap for how to do that. Maybe. We'll see. All right, Chrissy and I are going to go back live in about 15 minutes. If you're streaming and you'd like to watch another episode, we're going to do two today. So we give you more of the commercial break. Back-to-back episodes. So in about 15 minutes, 2:15 Eastern Standard Time, we'll jump back on. For those of you listening to the podcast version, thanks so much. Press play. I guess you did.
Yes. I guess you're listening to this. You have
press play.
Yeah,
if you listen to that, press play. And then we'll be back on Thursday, just to let you know. We'll be back on Thursday. And then the first TCB Classic came out this week. So thank you very much to everyone who wrote in. Two Weddings and a Funeral. Mm-hmm. You can go listen to that. One of our most sought after episodes.
Oh, yeah.
It's now the third time we've run it as a TCB Classic. and then maybe on Thursday, too, we'll let you video call into the show and we can all talk together. More information on that on Thursday. We'll go live again for two episodes on Thursday. Okay. Also, we'd love it if you would do us a favor. Follow us on Instagram at The Commercial Break. You can, of course, watch all of the episodes that we have ever recorded on video at youtube.com/TheCommercialBreak. And if you'd like your free TCB sticker, we still have some available, tcbpodcast.com. Go to the website, drop us your physical address, and we will send one to you. Give us a week or two. We don't just sit around waiting for you to request stickers. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, we let a few build up and then get them all out.
I'm watching Boy George at Harris.
Yeah.
I'm meeting Boy George in the smoking section at Harris.
Look alike.
Yeah. By the way, when I look at that, Boy George...
That doesn't look like the guy.
No.
Okay.
I should have known.
The guy maybe was what he used to look like.
He used to look like, yeah.
Okay.
Boy George looks skinnier, more facial hair, and more work done.
Yes.
Let's put it that way. He looks better. He looks good. Good for him. Good for him.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I got to say. And he's still working. Listen, that's all you could want. Sitting in front of 5,000 adoring fans on a Saturday night. What else could you want? All right, we'll see you back here in 15 minutes, or you hear us tomorrow. Either way, you got more than you can handle. Okay? All right, Chrissy, that's all I can do for right now.
I think so.
But I'll tell you that I love you.
I love you.
I'll say best to you.
Best to you.
Best to you out there in the podcast universe. Until very soon, we'll we will say, we do say, we must say.
Goodbye. Goodbye.
Five 30!